Today's devotional is from Arthur W. Pink, an itinerant Bible teacher in the United States and England in the first half of the 20th century. Job chapter 23, verse 10. But he knoweth the way that I take, and when he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. There are three great truths expressed here. First, he knows the way that I take. His eyes are upon the ways of man and sees all his goings, said Job in chapter 34, verse 21. Do you shrink from the thought of God knowing all about your way, perhaps a lying, selfish, hypocritical way? To the sinner, this is a terrible thought. But to the Christian, here is real comfort. How cheering to remember that my Father knows all about my trials and my difficulties, my sorrows, and my efforts to glorify Him. He knows the way that I take. Men did not know the way Job took. He was grievously misunderstood, and for one with a sensitive temperament, to be misunderstood is a sore trial. His very friends thought he was a hypocrite. They believed that he was a great sinner in being published by God. Job knew that he was an unworthy saint, but not a hypocrite. Here is instruction for us when we are like circumstanced. Fellow believers, your fellow men, yes, and your fellow Christians, may misunderstand you and misinterpret God's dealing with you. But console yourself with the blessed fact that the Omniscient One knows. Human volition is a strange enigma. Consciousness bears witness that we are more than automatons. We exercise the power of choice in every move we make. Yet it is plain that our freedom is not absolute. There are forces brought to bear upon us, both good and evil, which are beyond our power to resist. Both heredity and environment exercise powerful influences upon us. Said the prophet, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Jeremiah 10:23. Here we enter the realm of mystery, and it is idle to deny it. Better far to acknowledge with the wise man that man's goings are of the Lord, and how then can a man understand his own way? Proverbs 20:24. In the narrower sense of the term, though, Job did know the way that he took. What that way was, he tells us in the next two verses. My foot has held his steps, his way have I kept, and not declined. Job 23:11-12. So the way Job chose was the best way, the scriptural way, God's way. The second great truth is divine testing, when he has tried me. Proverbs 17:3 says, the fining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord tries the hearts. This was God's way with Israel of old, and it's his way with Christians now. Just before Israel entered Canaan, as Moses reviewed their history since leaving Egypt, he said, And you shall remember all the way which the Lord your God has led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble you and to prove you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. That's Deuteronomy 8:2. In the same way, God tries and tests and proves and humbles us. If we realized this more, we would bear up better in the hour of affliction and be more patient under suffering. The daily irritations of life, the things that annoy so much, what is their meaning? Why are they permitted? Here is the answer. God is trying you. That is the explanation, in part at least, of that disappointment, that crushing of your earthly hopes, that great loss. God was and is testing you. God is trying your temper, your courage, your faith, your patience, your love, your fidelity. Now, we do not deny that the devil does bring about much that harasses us, but above Satan is the Lord Almighty. The devil cannot touch a hair of our heads without God's permission, and when he is allowed to disturb and distract us, even then it is only God using him to try us. Let us learn, then, to look beyond all secondary causes and instruments to the one who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. This is what Job did. In the garden, the Savior said, The cup which my Father has given me, shall I not drink it? Men were about to vent their awful rage upon him. The serpent would bruise his heel. But he looks above and beyond them. Dear reader, no matter how bitter its contents, infinitely less than what our Savior drained, let us accept the cup as from the Father's hand. In some moods, we are apt to question the wisdom and right of God to try us. So often we murmur at His dispensations. Why should God lay such an intolerable burden upon me? Why should others be spared their loved ones and mine taken? Why should health and strength, perhaps the gift of sight, be denied me? The first answer to all such questions is, O man, who art thou who replies against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, Why have you made me thus? Romans 9:20. How earnestly each of us needs to cry unto God that His grace may silence our rebellious lips and still the tempest within our desperately wicked hearts. Again in 1 Peter 4, 12-13, we are told, Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Again, it is written in Acts 14:22, We must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. It has been so in every age. The third great truth is the ultimate issue. I shall come forth as gold. Observe the tense here. Job did not imagine that he was pure gold already. I shall come forth as gold, he declared. He knew full well that there was yet much dross in him. Job did not say, When he tries me, I may come forth as gold, or I hope to come forth as gold. But with full confidence and positive assurance, he declared, I shall come forth as gold. But how did he know this? How can we be sure of a happy issue? Because the divine purpose cannot fail. He that hath begun a good work in us will finish it. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Psalm 138:8. So be of good cheer, tried and troubled one. The process may be unpleasant and painful, but the issue is charming and sure. The most wonderful thing in heaven will not be the golden street or the golden harps, but the golden souls on which is stamped the image of God, predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son.